If you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to 1 Corinthians 15:10. Not, Brother Lucas has it up there on the screen. First Corinthians 15 says, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labor more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me." Grace can be defined as the love and mercy given to us by God because God wants His children to have it. Grace is a gift from God. We can do nothing to earn it. And just being a good person, I mean, God's not going to just give it to good people. There is a lot of good people that are burning in hell tonight. And it is something that God gives to us. When we begin to ask Him to forgive us of our sin with true repentance, God's grace and love, and begins to wash us clean of our sin. For where would I be if it had not been for the grace of God? Church, it is a gift. We have got to have true repentance in our hearts. It is not by my works or by my own beliefs, but it is by forgiveness that God gives us grace. In Ephesians 2, 8 through 9, turn there on the screen. "For by grace ye are saved, through faith, not that of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of good works, lest any man should boast." And, you know, I'm just thankful for the grace of God that has been bestowed upon my life. You know, growing up, I've grown in church all my life. But just because you're growing in church and has been raised in church all your life doesn't mean you're a Christian. And, you know, I've had my years growing up when I gave my heart to the Lord Jesus Christ as a child. And had to give it again and dedicate myself as a teenager. And as an adult, I've had to do the same thing. You know, during my teenage years, when the devil would begin to tempt me, and, you know, I wasn't always right. I didn't always live right. You know, it's a daily choice to begin to be in God's presence, to begin to be used by God. And I had to get that choice. I had to get that decision to serve Him. You know, in about when I was 15, I believe it was, I was 13 when I first got filled with the Holy Ghost. And you guys can be seated. I'm sorry. I just started starting in them. But when I got filled with the Holy Ghost at 13, and you know, it was something that I had to get for myself. We can't live off other people's experience. And, you know, so many people, they go through life and they see everybody getting filled, getting in. But it's got to be us. We've got to get it for ourselves. We've got to begin to lay everything aside and give it to God. You know, he can't fill us if we're still holding on. Like Brother Tutchin said, the empty hands. We've got to have empty hands coming to God. So He can begin to fill us, use us as vessels. You know, it's not God's will that He doesn't show us mercy, you know, or it is God's will that He does show us mercy, but it is not God's will that He doesn't have to. You know, He don't have to give us the grace and mercy, but I am thankful that He has. You know, so many people, they expect mercy from God. Being raised in Christianity, sometimes we get complacent. We begin to expect mercy for sin. You know, we can go out and sin, and we expect to come into the house of God and be able to be forgiven. But you know, as I've begun to live this Christian life, and then on this journey, you know, I've had people that has done me wrong, and you know, they've asked for my forgiveness. You know, and it had to be up to me to forgive them. You know, it was a choice to forgive them. And I'm sad to say, I've not done that all the time. And I come into the house of God expecting God to begin to flow through me and to forgive me of my sins. But yet I was not merciful enough to somebody else that had done me wrong. And, you know, I had to get to a place where His mercy, His forgiveness, His grace would begin to flow through me that I might show mercy and grace unto somebody else. And I thank the Lord for that. You know, it's been a journey. It's not always been an easy journey, Pastor. The devil has always, he's always here. He roars like a lion. He seeketh to whom he can destroy. You know, it's nothing old or new. But we have got to get to the place where God's grace and His mercy begins to flow in us. That way, when we go out into this world, we begin to show His grace, His mercy to other people. In Luke 6:43-45, for a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bringeth forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For the throne of men do not gather figs, gathered they grapes. A good man out of the good tree of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and evil man out of evil treasures of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. And, you know, as I was, I kind of added that on today, actually. It kind of spoke out to me because, like I was saying, we're going to be known for our fruits. We walk out into this world, people are going to know us by our fruits. And if we don't have the grace of God in our lives and how we treat other people, it's going to be known that we don't treat people right. And we're supposed to be Christians and we claim to be Christians, but if we're not living a Christian life and begin to let God's grace flow through us, that we might be able to be a light and a witness into this world, you know, we have got to have that. That way we can bear good fruits. We can't go out into this world and just pretend to put on a face. People will know the difference between a true Christian and a Christian that just comes in and sits on the pew. We've got to have works. We've got to begin to let God activate us, as Brother Lucas has preached. We can't stay complacent in where we are at right now. We have got to begin to move through the grace of God. And God's grace will preserve itself in the midst of great opposition. No water can quench its fire. God has put a mighty power into grace that once it possesses the heart in truth, not all the wickedness in the world can dispose it. Just as the water in the salt of the sea cannot make the fish salty, but the fish still retains its freshness. So all the wickedness and faithlessness in the world cannot destroy, cannot defile true grace. And you know, it's true grace that we have to have. We sometimes, as Christians, we go through this life and we begin to let mercy wash over us, and we begin to go out in this world and temptations start to fly in, and we begin to get bombarded from all sides, it seems like. And you know, if we're not careful, we begin to compromise in our faith. And if we are not careful, we will compromise in our faith. And it is God's grace that reaches down His hand and pulls us back out. And I'm thankful for His grace that did. Like the sister was saying, you know, we go out into this world and we think that this world can offer us something. You know, I've been there myself. Being raised in church my entire life, you know, that doesn't mean I was always drawn to church. And, you know, the temptations of life, I would find myself out into this world, doing the things of this world. And but it was God's grace that reached down His hand upon me and began to pull me out of that miry clay. And I am thankful for His gifts that He has given me. And let's see. The definition of grace is to do honor or credit to someone or something by one's presence. And I'm thankful for the presence of God. You know, if it wasn't for the presence of God, I wouldn't be here tonight. I wouldn't be on this pulpit scared out of my mind, you know. But, you know, it was God's grace. It was His presence that reached down His hand upon my life. And grace is God's active presence in our lives, which is not dependent on human action or human response. It is a gift that is always available, but church, it can be refused. Lay everything aside, every sin, every plan, and give it to God. Where we can't hold back from God and expect grace to wash over us. No, we have to give it. We have got to give it all and put it in His hands so grace can wash over us. And we can't hold nothing back, church. We can't hold back any part of our lives on our, you know, even a couple years ago, you know, I had so many plans that I wanted to do for my future. Once I turned 18, you know, that was supposed to be the day you become a man, and that's wrong. That is wrong. You know, I had so many plans on what I was going to do when I graduated high school, and you know, them went out the door. You know, growing through this life, I had so many preconceived ideas of what I wanted to be, what I wanted to do when I got out of the house, and I'm working on that. But when what I wanted to do, you know, it came a place in my life, it's not what I wanted to do, but it's got to be what God wants me to do. And I had to get to that place to where it was only God in me, walking, leading and guiding me, that I might walk in His footsteps. And can you bring me my water, Isaac? I'm sorry. I forgot to grab that earlier. Sorry. I had to begin to let Him lead and guide my footsteps. And, you know, it's so easy to be distracted by the things of this world. We find ourselves so many times walking through life and distractions, especially now in 2021. We've had so many distractions this last year with COVID, and it's easy to get discouraged. It's easy to begin to fall astray on what God wants us to do. But it's His grace that has preserved us. It has called us to a place of repentance, and it is God's grace that will begin to lead us forward. And in 2 Timothy 8, or 2 Timothy 1, 8 through 9, it says, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, His prisoner. But be thou partakers of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given in us in Christ Jesus before the world began." And, you know, church, we are called with a holy calling. It's His grace that began to infiltrate our lives. And, you know, it is His grace that is going to begin to lead us forward. And His grace, you know, when I was studying on this, you know, the devil had tried to come against my mind tried to persuade me, you know, I had to put Him in His place, so to speak. And this last week in revival, I tell you what, the Lord has done a mighty work in this place. He's done a mighty work in our young people. You know, it doesn't take much to see what God has done. You know, if we just look around and look at the lives of people and the way they're living, you know, and He's done a mighty work in my life, and I am thankful for it. I'm thankful for His grace that has come in and has changed me. And in Hebrews 4, verse 16, says, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." And I'm thankful for that. You know, so many times we find ourselves in a place that we're in need of something. We constantly need God's grace upon our lives. We find ourselves in this life, we got family members that are lost. We got family members that are backslidden. We got souls on our hearts that we want to see saved. And, you know, it is God's mercy that will begin to reach them. It will begin to come down and flood their lives that they might obtain salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, it's these last few months, the Lord has really laid on my heart a heart for the kids. You know, coming from a broken home at a young age, you know, when my parents got separated, it tore us apart. It tore me apart. But I thought I had to be the bigger brother. I thought I had to, you know, which I did. But I thought I had to take more responsibility. And, you know, church, it wasn't easy. It was not easy. And, you know, it was God's grace that kept me through it. It was God's grace that put his hand upon my mind. You know, the devil wants to infiltrate. Even at the youngest age, you know, it's crazy to me. That sin runs rampantly in our young generation. You know, it's sad, it's heartbreaking, because you can go out on these streets and you see the way people are living, the way their children, how they're affected by this sin. And, you know, it is up to us, church, to have God's grace flow through us, that we might be a light unto them. You know, they will know us by our fruits. And, you know, they are going to want a part of it if we are living right. If we are bringing the life of Christ, if we are bringing grace, they will see it in us, and they will want to be a part of it. And I'm just thankful for it. It is a continual thing. You know, I don't want to ever be not thankful for grace, because where he brought me from, where he's brought so many of you guys from, you know, I don't know everybody's story, but I know if you're sitting here tonight and you are born again, it was grace that came through your life. And it is the grace of God that has kept us. And like I had said, grace is not an active grace is God's active presence in our life, which is not dependent on human action or human response. And I'm thankful for that, because there is nothing that I could do for us pastors to obtain it. There's nothing I could have done to earn it. You know, it was a gift. God dying on a cross for my sins. You know, I couldn't have done that, Pastor. No, he took on the sins of the whole world, that the whole world might be saved, that they might come to him. You know, and it is sad to say that not everybody is going to make it. But it is up to us, the church, the body of Christ, to begin to preach his message. And that his grace would begin to flow through us, that they might see it. And it says, no water can quench its fire. You know, church, I've had a lot of things happen in my life. You know, I've fallen short so many times. And I thought, well, can grace reach me from this point in my life? And, you know, it came to a place where I about walked away, you know. And, you know, sin was very rampant in my life. It began to take control. It began to take me further than I wanted to go. But one day, on Sunday morning, God reached down his hand and showed me grace. He began to show me mercy. He began to reach down in that pit that I was in, that I had put myself in, that I had walked into, and began to pull me out of it. Because he knew that he had a plan for my life, you know. I knew that he had a plan for my life, but I didn't want to listen. You know, I began to walk off and wanted to do my own thing, but it was his grace that began to draw me back. It was his love that began to draw me back into his presence. And, you know, so many people, so many of our younger generation, you know, as a teenager growing up, I was a teenager, you know, I always thought that, well, can God pull me from this place? Can God reach me from this place? You know, and I took advantage of it, you know, and And I got to the place, well, can God save me now? I've done this so many times. I've done this so long. I've put on this face. I begin to greet people with a fake face and pretend that I was living right. And, you know, it was God's grace that changed my life, because grace will change your life, church. It will begin to flow through you and begin to renew you and begin to change everything that you have done in your past and begin to create a new creature within you. And it was the grace of God that will begin to lead and guide our young generation towards Him. You know, as Brother Jason said, you know, there's not all of them. The devil has not got all of them. And just looking at this younger generation, you know, he hasn't. He hasn't. He's done a mighty work these last few nights in revival. And I am just thankful for it. It has gotten a fire really stirred up in my soul. Because, you know, we look at this world and the sin that runs rampant, even in our hometown. You know, this younger generation can, and it is a light when we go out into the outside these doors. You know, we got people coming as Grant. You know, Grant has been a great witness. He's always on me to go knock on doors, and you know, it's that fire burning inside him. You know, the God's grace that began to flood through him, it began to change his life, that he wants to see souls saved. And, you know, when grace begins to flow through your life, you're going to want to see souls saved. You're going to want to do the work of the Father. And I am thankful for it, you know, because I never, you know, and there was a place in my life that I was saved, but I didn't. That was as far as I wanted to go. That was as far as I wanted to reach out, you know. I knew that God had a calling on my life, brother, but I didn't want no part of it. And, you know, it scared me to even think about it. You know, growing up in church, you know, a lot of people, you know, growing up, I said I wanted to be used by God. But when I started to really think about what it all entailed, it scared me. And, you know, it was God's grace that began to flood my mind. And, you know, it's not by my works, but it's by His. You know, if I begin to put all my heart and life into His hands, He can use any of us. He can use me. He can begin to use you guys. You know, it's not grace, is no respecter of a person. It's not just for me. It's not just for Pastor or Brother Lucas or them that stand up here on this pulpit. But it is for everybody in this church. It is for this entire world. And I am thankful for it, because if it had not been for the Lord that was on my side, where would I be? I'd be out in a place, probably hell, and burning for all eternity. But it was His mercy, it was His grace that began to flood my life and begin to create a new spirit, begin to change my life. And, you know, I'm thankful for it. You know, I can't give God enough praise for what He has done in my life and for the life of my family. You know, it is awesome to see His work, His hand, firsthand, you know, on what He's doing. I love the Lord. I love the Lord with all my heart. You know, we sing the song. Oh, I can't even think of the song now. but we begin to sing His praises. We begin to sing songs of love and joy. And yeah, like I said before, it's too easy to get complacent sometimes, but if we begin to really think about what the Lord has done in us and through us, you know, and begin to really think on what the Lord is going to do through us, you know, it begins to excite us. It begins to stir up a fire inside of us. You know, church, we've got to begin to stir up that fire. We just came out of revival. It is time to put it to work. It's time to actually get activated, get out of our comfort zones, and begin to do God's work in our lives. You know, it is too easy to just sit back. Too easy to just sit back and do our own thing. Twiddle our thumbs and do nothing. But, you know, it takes a warrior's mentality to do something for the kingdom of God. We've got to begin to get in church at our homes. We've got to begin to get in the spirit at home. We've got to begin to bring church, come from church, bring it into our homes. We've got to begin to live the life that Christ lived, you know, fall in his footsteps. If, you know, so many times I found myself that a good service, good preaching, you know, felt the Lord move in my life, and I go into my home and I did my own thing. And the next day you find yourself, you're tempted by so many things. The devil comes against you, begins to try to come against your mind, you know, and we just came out of a great service. But if I did not take God home with me, then I would fall into sin. You know, we've got to begin to let God come into our homes, begin to clear it out, begin to clean out all the junk that doesn't need to be there, you know, and begin to rebuild them altars at home. I know we've been doing Tuesday Night Lives and rebuilding them altars at home, beginning to bring a prayer life at home. We've got to have that prayer life, church. It is vital. It is vital to our existence as Christians to have a prayer life. We cannot have the grace of God flowing through us if we do not go home and have a prayer life in our own homes, our personal homes. We can come here, we can give God the thanks, we can dance in His Spirit, we can get full of the Holy Ghost. But when we're out there in the world, we are not in this sanctuary. This is just a building. Church is a people. You know, it is. We've got to have an individual relationship with Him. You know, it is very vital that we have a relationship with Him. Not just a feel-good experience, but a relationship. To begin to get full of the Holy Ghost and begin to take it into this world. We find ourselves in places that we don't want to be in sometimes. And it's because we have not given God everything. We find ourselves walking through this world and people come up to us and you know, it. Something might anger you or get you upset, and if we're not careful, we don't begin to show God's mercy and grace, you know, we begin to push them away, you know, and that is not what we're called to do. We are called to draw them, and, you know, it is the grace of God through us that they will see your good works. You know, they will want to be a part of that church. And, you know, I'm just thankful. I'm thankful for what the Lord has done in this place. I'm thankful for what He's doing in the hearts and lives of people, you know, faithful people. You know, church, it is very, very inspiring to see what God is doing. If we begin to really look at what He has done in our lives and begin to look what He has done in the lives of our loved ones and the presence that He begins to pour out upon us, you know, it begins to stir up a fire inside of us to do more for the kingdom of God. And it is the mercies of God that you will do more for the kingdom of God if you begin to get into His presence. And I'm thankful for what the Lord has done in our lives. And Pastor, I'll turn it back over to you.